Well, good morning. Greetings from Ukraine. I'm surprised not many of you know where Ukraine are. So maybe I should have a geography lesson today, but no, I won't. I'll speak some. If you turn with me, the Bible, the Psalm 56. It's a great time, great conference. I'm really honored to be here, and I come here with my son this year. His name is Tim. He's over there behind. And my wife and two other children, they stay home in Lviv. And Psalm 56, the verse 12 and 13. Woes made to you are being upon me, O God. I will render praise to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from failing, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And Lord, we thank you for this day that you give it to us. Thank you for this great conference, and thank you for your word that you speak into us, changing our lives. Thank you, Jesus. And bless this few words in your name. Amen. Here, David, the king, said that he's been delivered in his life from many bad things that happened to him. And he praising God for that. And that's, I feel like it's our life. God deliver us from many things that we may not even understand that they could happen to our lives. But also in David's life, was a situation that he's haven't been delivered. Like he have many losses. He lost his best friend, Jonathan. He lost his sons. He lost his first wife. He almost like been close to the to being lost of his kingdom. But that's like our life sometimes. We have losses. And we have deliverance of God among, it may be like even very difficult situations. And sometimes God allowed kind of problems to come to our life that we may trust Him and look upon Him, seek His face, pray, and really seek God. Like yesterday night, Pastor Schaller has this message about difference between happiness and joy. And he also said about the girl that Jesus brings back to life. She was dead, and he raised her from the dead. And that reminds me one of the situations that I experienced in my life. Not that I raised somebody from the dead, but we have been close to that. We have very, it's been like the darkest day of my life, really. We have amazing camp in Odessa, where we have the, like, every year camps with all of our churches in Ukraine, with Pastor Chris, and he's a living witness of that that happened. And Pastor Julian is here in Nutella too. They probably remember that story that I want to tell. And my son too. So we have that camp. That was great time. It was really like so awesome. Odessa Church built a church tent right in the seashore next to the Black Sea. And we have amazing time. We worship God in the open air. Lots of people have a tent and live in that place. And our kids just went swimming and come back for the children program. And one day, I think it's third day of our conference, my son, who is 15 now, he's been like 10, swim too far. in the Black Sea. So my wife told me, go get him. He is too far. Bring him back. So I left the camp and going like a little bit further from that place and start calling him. I said, Tim, it's time. Just, you know, come over here. Stop swimming. You go too far. And I see like in my right eye that one little girl swimming in the sea. And she swim like the kids like to swim. Like we call it stars. They just lay down by the face to the water and put in hands like that. So I look at that girl and I was like kind of interesting. Huh? She's swimming like she holding her breath for so long time. And I think, wow, she's an amazing girl. I knew this girl. She was 4 years old. The girl, one of our dear friends. So I still call my son and kind of like said, come over here. And you know how difficult sometimes for parents to take the children from the water. And he's arguing with me like, no, I want to swim. I said, no, you should be here. Mom said you should be here. And and we talk like that. And he's coming. But then I still put my eye on that kid, and I think like, huh, she's still swimming like 20 meters from me. I said, wow, that's amazing. And then still I come out here, come over here. And he's like, he's come. We talk. I said, go dress. Your mom wants to see you. And then I look at that girl again, and I like bad things, thoughts start coming to my mind. I said, maybe she's not swimming. Maybe she drowned. So I look at that girl and I see that she's not pick her face from the sea. So I ran as a crazy to see and swim to her. And I just take her from her bathing suit and I pick her up from the water. Oh boy. And I couldn't imagine. She was dead. She drowned. She drowned in the sea. And I don't know how much time she been already in the sea. That was kind of like difficult moment in my life ever. I feel like I lost the sense of time. I start screaming. I don't know how I get to the seashore. I bring the kid and some people start screaming, just turned her upside down, that water go out. So I did it. Doesn't help. I run to the people and somebody picked that girl from me. And like all of our people come and church and Pastor Chris, Pastor Julian and all of us, we start like they put the girl on a sand and we start pray. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long she was underwater. I think she was there like 20 minutes or something. And her eyes were like roll and the tone was like totally black. So we pray, start calling for the embassy, for the ambulance. Yeah, ambulance. And but the doctors was very far. They couldn't come. So we start begging God, Lord, please do something in this situation. Do something in the life of this kid. And we pray like maybe for 5 minutes, nothing happened. And thanks God, there was some people that kind of do massage of her heart and put the water. And we pray another 10 minutes, nothing happened. And then little by little, water start coming out of her and she cough. And then she sneezed. Yeah. And then she start screaming. Oh boy, sometimes, you know, like that was like the best scream I hear ever. It's like this joyful scream. Like, you know, sometimes kids scream and you cannot handle that. But that's like that scream brings so much joy to all of our camp, to all of our people. And then ambulance come, and our guys, pastors, went with the family to the ambulance. They did some treatment for her. And they witnessed to everybody, witnessed to the doctors, witnessed to the people that been in that hospital. And many people get saved that day. And they said, like, God can bring the person from the dead. We all been sure that she was dead. She was dead. It's like, it's no question. I mean, like, the normally person cannot be on the water for so long time, because even my talk with Tim was like for 5 minutes. I watched her, but she was longer at that scene. But that's like, there was, I remember that story, and God bring me this verse. He deliver us. He's deliver. He deliver me from being this sorrow of life, like having this bad memory that somebody died. He deliver my eye from crying. He deliver. He deliver. God is great deliverer. In many times in our life, He will deliver us from many things that even maybe we can do with our, like, not very wise decisions that we made, as David did. But God bring deliverance. And that bring a joy. Yeah, we it's like in our life, we cannot be happy all the time. But when we know Him and trust Him, come to His throne of grace, He will give us real joy that is inside of us. So that's my little testimony. And this year we'll have a camp in Odessa again. If you want to join, come be with us. We'll be gladly have you there, you know. We won't guarantee you, like, perfect things, but, you know, God is among us. He doing great things. So thank you. Yeah, God bless you.
Yeah, we have an amazing God. God is able, and I enjoy hearing those kind of testimonies, because, you know, we can be so skeptical, you know, about what God can do, and we can be so rational, like the 10 spies, and go in and say, you know what, this is not going to work. But we are challenged to believe in God and see that He is almighty and He can do all things. So that was great to hear. And we have a next speaker, whom you know probably as the organizer of the last two Eurocons in Warsaw. But he doesn't just... This was interesting. When I saw him last year, and it was just before Eurocon started, and I saw him, and he was still smiling after just having organized a conference for, I don't know how many people, but over 1,000 people. So I thought, he must have a gift that he can do this and still have joy doing this. I had to once organize a conference for 110 people, and after this started, I was completely, like, you know, just a wreck. So I thought, how did he do this with this team for so many people, and he's still smiling? So this says something about him. But the other thing that we know about him is that he comes from the country of Poland. So we're shifting a little bit further west again. Poland, we have 4 churches in Poland currently. Does anybody know where they are? I am not hearing anything you're saying, but I know you know where they are. So there's in Gdańsk, is one in the north at the Baltic Sea. Then we have a church in Wrocław, which is, we say Breslau in German. It's in the south, towards closer to Germany than in the south, in Krakow. I think this is where it all started, isn't it, Pastor Maciek? Is that where you're from? That's where he's from also. And then in Warsaw, Poland, where many of you have been. And the amazing thing is, though, that, you know, sometimes we think, oh, we've been there. Now, Warsaw, Eurocon was in Warsaw. We've been there, done that. But, you know, I know one thing. They like to have visitors, you know, not just in March and just 1,000 at once, but If you want to come there and encourage them, you're very welcome. They also have a summer camp in July. Every stubborn Christian that doesn't want to get saved in Germany, we send them there to the summer camp to get saved. And it has worked a few times, so we're very thankful for that. And now we have Pastor Maciek from Warsaw, Poland.
Wow. Thank you for this introduction. I love Pastor Stefan. So after Eurocon, someone sent text message to my wife from his church saying, "Congratulations, you just won a weekend in Berlin. Everything is included." So we had a great time there with him. I came here just to say that my wife is not here. She's back in Warsaw. I just want to say that I love her. And please pick me up from the airport. God bless you. Thank you. okay. And some people ask me why I have beard. You know, I have to confess something. It's gravity. It's going from here like down. So when I think about missions, I thought that maybe if I move to China, to the other side of the globe, maybe we'll go up again. Okay, sir. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, and we ask you to bless these few words in the holy name. Amen. You know, for so many years, I was, when someone has a birthday or some anniversary, I was saying to them like this, "May God surprise you with his faithfulness like never before." And I thought it's a very nice way to say something. But recently I realized how important this is in my life. I mean, especially when we think about this subject, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Those words give me like deep insight and like something special when I think how God can surprise me with his faithfulness. And I want to share some, like briefly share something in this context about perspective and prayer. And perspective is how we see things that are happen in our life. And I remember on Monday, we were at this golf tournament, and I spoke with Mindy, Pastor Stefan's wife, and she said, "Wow, I won the first prize for the best female on the tournament." I said, "Wow, great, first place." And then she said, "But I was the only one in this contest." I mean, you can see the same thing from two different perspectives. I was the first one, or I was the last one. I mean, it's like this cup that it's half empty or half full. I mean, Pastor Tomasz told me one joke recently. How women picture heaven as a big, huge shopping mall. And how men are picturing hell. Like huge shopping mall. So it's everything a matter of perspective, how we look things. And I think in this letter, Paul, he learned something. Because he's writing this letter from prison. I'm sorry. From prison. Sorry, my English. He's writing from prison, and of course he could be discouraged, he could be angry on God. I mean, why I'm here? Hey God, I'm doing what you expect me to do, and now I'm here, I'm stuck here in this place. But we see in Philippians 4:11 and 13 that he learned something. He learned something that we shouldn't look on situation in our life from eternal from perspective here and now. But we should look at situation in our life from eternal perspective. God, what you have for me in this situation that I'm present now? Because maybe by sight I don't like the situation. Maybe it's not convenient. But maybe you have something for me. And I think I can imagine Paul sitting there chained to this soldier and think, I cannot go soul winning. I cannot take my schedule and go on the street and preach. So God, what can I do? Maybe I will write letters. And he started writing letters. Are we glad that he was there and he got those letters that we can read now? I mean, like Ephesians. Ladies, are you not glad that he was there and he said, husband, love your wives like Christ loved the church? I mean, God, I don't like in my flesh the situation that I'm not, but I'm here right now, but give me this eternal perspective on the situation. How can I be used by you in this situation that I'm present now? How can I glorify you in this situation? I have a friend in Krakow. He had the stroke and doctor said that he almost cut him out from this, I don't know how you call this, machines that keep him alive. They didn't, so he awake and he is now on the wheelchair. And he said that for so many years he was asking the wrong question, because he was asking, why God? Why me? Why this happened to me? But then he realized that he is asking the wrong question, because he should ask the question, how? Not why, but how. Hey God, how can I be used by you in this situation that I'm not? I am right now. It's all about this perspective. And then that leads me to this prayer that maybe, some times ago, I changed my whole prayer life. Because usually I was praying for things for me, like, God, I need this, and I need this. Please do this, do that. And I realized that I'm like kind of should change something in my life, prayer life. Because, you know, you can ask God, like, and say, God, give me what I want. Or I can ask God, give me what you have for me. You know, that's changed everything. I mean, in this first case, when you ask God, give what I want, it's like, I don't know if you saw sometimes children in the shopping mall. When they see something, oh, they can be brutal. Like, I want this, I want this. I mean, and sometimes parents just, okay, give me a break. And they buying this thing. To find out that a couple of days, maybe hours later, it's just, you know, like collecting the dust. And that's it. I mean, sometimes we're asking God for things for ourselves, and we don't. And because of that, we are missing the things that he wanted to give us. Because we are so busy with things that we want to have it. And then, you know, that I learned something a couple of last years, that his plan is better than mine. He knows better than I do. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that eye has not seen, ear heard those things that God prepared for those that love him. You know, I remember once my wife always says to me that I should give some stories. So there's one story. Years ago, I was working for this American company, and they have once a year this training in Hawaii. So I was, wow, I didn't expect, but by miracle, I qualified to go there for 1 week. I said, wow, that's great. And me and 10 other people from Poland, we went there, but a plane from Warsaw to Frankfurt in Germany, that we should take another plane from Frankfurt to San Francisco, and then another from San Francisco to Hawaii. Our plane from Warsaw was late, and we missed our plane to San Francisco. And they said, you have to wait 24 hours for the next plane. And I said, oh, what? I mean, I was angry on God. I mean, why I have to sit here in this German airport? Not that I don't like Germans, but but you know, compared to this, you know, like this beautiful ocean at Hawaii. Sorry, Pastor Stefan. And I was really angry. I mean, God, why? Why? And then next day we went to the airport to take another flight, and they said, well, there's no place for you on the economy class. So anyway, we will upgrade you to the business class. So that was good. But not that wasn't the end of the story. Because, you know, when you fly, you're collecting points, the mileage. And if you fly business class, I find out that the points are doubled. So it was cool. So I went there, and I forget about everything. Year later, my wife received a phone call from her family that her father is dying. He's really sick, and he's dying. He will pass in a couple more days. So she really wanted to go and visit him because he lived in Cleveland, Ohio, here in the States. But we didn't have any money for the ticket. So we were praying, God, how can we do it? Because, you know, there is no chance that she can go. But then the Holy Spirit told me, check your mile account, you know, with these airlines. So I went online and I checked it. What? It was exactly the amount that was needed to get the free tickets to U.S. And you know what? Like for me, that was like because I was like, I remember, you know, how God told me. You know, I knew it. I knew that that's going to happen because my plan is better than yours. I knew it. That's why I hold this plane from Warsaw to Frankfurt to get you all the... And I was angry on God. But his plan is better than mine, and he knows better what I need. And that's why I think that that God told me that, you know, just relax. Just relax. I know what I'm doing. I love you more than you love yourself. And I wanted the best for you. That's why you should kind of rejoice in me. Rejoice. You know, maybe by side this doesn't look great. But you know what? I was taught in this church that we are not walking by sight. We're walking by faith. That's why I want to walk by faith. And I want to trust God that he has something for me. That he is preparing something on his, that is something on my way that he is preparing for me. That's why I want to be available for him wherever he wants me to do it. Because when I read the Bible, I see different people being called. And I would say that usually they answer God in three different ways. They say, here I am, God, but in three different ways. Like Jonah, he said, here I am, God. I'm not going anywhere. Or like Moses, like he said, okay, here I am. Send someone else. I'm not going. Or I want to be like Isaiah. He said, here I am, God. Send me. I want to receive what you prepare for me. I want to be in your perfect plan for my life. And it's like signing, like, I would say that, you know, if you ever sign up any contract, you read all the things that are all the points. But with God, it's like you're giving like empty paper and then just signing up on the bottom saying, hey, God, I'm just signing up this. Fill up wherever you want there. I just want to go wherever you lead me. I just want to be close to you because I trust you, because you love me. You share your life for me. You create me. And I believe you. And that's why I'm praying for different things, but always saying, "But God, if you have something better for me, here I am. Lead me your way." But that gives us real joy. Not struggling, but you know, God, maybe I don't like the situation that I'm right now, but how can I be used in this situation? What do you have for me right here, right now? Because you know better than I do. Amen.
Vielen Dank. So thank you. Wonderful to be standing here and at the same time terrifying. But thank you for this honor to be standing here, and thank you, Pastor Scheller, for coming to Finland in many years ago. Actually, I was just counting that we have Greater Grace people in about a dozen places in Finland, not only in 8 places where we have churches, but it's great to see how the ministry is spreading and people are moving on in the plan of God, and it's wonderful. And if you came from Finland, would you stand up? Because I just happen to be representing the whole... Yes, Darlington, yes, yes, and yes. Wonderful. And Tom and Maya, wonderful, and it's been great to be living in the same place at the Bridges with Pastor Tero and Rita and Pastor Jussi is here. We have 4 of our 7 elders from the church in Helsinki here at this time, which is wonderful. I'm so happy. Happy for that. And it was good to be kind of preceded by Brittany because there's a very special connection between us in Finland and the team in Izmir. God bless them. And I will mention that maybe a little later in this little part that I will be sharing. Is Pastor Don Barnes here? Are you still here? His portion yesterday was so hilarious. It's like it's hard to beat it when he was talking about the skinny jeans and all that. And he was introduced that he's been married 40 years. And I was thinking that, well, at least there's one thing that I can beat him in. If I can't be funny as he is, but I have been married 41 years. And so it's like, yes. But... my bonnie is over the ocean, so she's not here with me, but what a precious friend, and what a precious... Well, thank you, baby. So let's pray. Yeah, Father. Father, we thank you for this morning. And thank you for all that we have heard, for this amazing conference, all that has been done here to make it possible. We thank you for Pastor Scheller, all the pastors here, the elders, the servants, the body of Christ here in Baltimore. We thank you for all the visitors and just for the life that we can share with each other, and ask that you bless and anoint this portion here. Amen. Hasn't it been an amazing conference? I think that even like the visual images and the graphics and everything, the music, the service here. I mean, the thank you body here in Baltimore. It's been amazing. Yeah. And as Pastor Stefan and Pastor Maciek and we all that have been organizing conferences, we know how immensely there is work to be done behind the scenes. And so many people are involved. Really, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for doing this every year, and making it possible. And I know that there's been people that have been donating money to bring many missionaries and pastors here, and they obviously want to remain anonymous. But thank you so much, all of you. In Romans 14, we are talking about joy here at the conference. And Romans 14:17 says that, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And This is great to see today, and it's great to think about it, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Christian Diaz, who gave a wonderful message on Tuesday, and it was, I just enjoyed that Latin American meeting. It was so special. And he was referring to Paul and Romans 4, and Romans 4. The reason for our joy, we have been made righteous, we have been forgiven, and that God will neither now nor in the future impute sin to us. And that how this is the basis for our joy. And here Paul is saying later on in Romans that it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So he's kind of continuing on this theme. And Pastor Michael last night said that Paul's theology is, in a nutshell, that it's in Christ. In Christ. And in him we have all this. He is our peace. And he, because of him, we have been made righteous. And that's why we can have joy in him. And it's just amazing. Also in Romans 5, where it says that we have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Like, we see that these things, righteousness, peace, joy, they are kind of like, they go like together in the book of Romans. They go together in the message of the New Testament. And it's wonderful. Like, joy is such an important part of the kingdom of God, of the body of Christ. And here we come to this thing. I was thinking that what is it that somehow makes these things very real to us? Isn't it like that when Paul writes then in Ephesians that the body of Christ, the fullness of him, filling all in all, that we can sense the real joy in the body of Christ, because it's about Christ being there. It's about his fullness, and where he is, the peace and righteousness, joy, they are present. And also they are the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, and so on. Amazing things. And then, but why is it that we don't always like sense those things in our lives, in our churches? And coming from Europe, I'm thinking about it sometimes like that. What is it that is keeping us from really living to the fullest in these things? And I think that it's like we're extremely individualistic in Europe, and in the Western culture, I think also in the States. And no wonder, like, we see that the Christianity is spreading and going on in Asia, in Africa, in Latin America, but in our Western culture, it's decreasing on the paper anyhow, in statistics. And I think that part of it is that people don't get to touch and smell and taste what it means to have the fullness of Christ in the body. Because we're so individualistic. We are even thinking about discipleship. We are thinking about somebody maybe mentoring me to be a better person and to live my life. It's almost like having personal trainers or coaches, life coaches, or whatever you name it. There's so much of that in the world. And yes, discipleship is also something that happens one-on-one, but it won't happen without the body of Christ, right? And it's so amazing that if we're discipling someone, that we can bring them into the body where the fullness of Christ is to be seen, where it is for real, even today. And I think that this is something that we are robbed of in the Western world so easily. And like also, as we are in the Western world, we are so rational, or we are so intellectual and all that, and we don't think about the spiritual reality. But we know that we have an adversary, and he goes around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. And he wants to rob us of our joy. He wants to rob us of that sensation and reality of the body of Christ, and wants to make us just stand all by ourselves. It's just me, myself, and I. And I'm just like wondering, like, why don't I have that joy? But there's something that is lacking in my life. It's that body of Christ experience where I can relax and where I can sense the fullness of Christ. And that brings me joy. And in June, a little earlier in June, we went to Riga. We arranged, that's Latvia. The map is not there anymore, it doesn't matter. But it's in the middle of the Baltic countries, like south of Finland and west of Russia. And we had an amazing time as we gathered together. People came from different countries, and we were over 50 people there. And Pastor Matti Sirviö and Pastor Michael Toll were teaching there. And we had so much joy there. It was like such a body experience as we came together. We had consecrated that week to be there together, to learn the Bible, to go out and evangelize. And it was just the body of Christ in the middle of Europe, present. And we could just sense that anointing as we went out to speak to people. There was this flow of life there, this fullness of Christ that was just carrying us as we're going. And the local Christians are wondering, like you say that people here are open and warm, and like they don't have the same sensation. But it's the body. I believe really in that. That let's not let the devil rob us of that. But let's resist him. Let's resist that individualistic way of thinking. Let's resist that isolationistic thinking. And because when we are separated from the body, it's hard to sense that joy in Christ because it's hid in him. And that's a secret in him. But of course, like, we don't talk about the devil in this civilized Western world. That's primitive. And that's why we like give him an open mandate to just go ahead, work here, because we don't ever believe in you. But we need to resist him. Resist him like taking that joy, taking the body experience. And people are so busy, 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 busy. But are we really so busy? I mean, it's a good question. Or is it just that we are made to believe that we are so busy? And really, like, what is important to our life? Like, Darlington stood up, like, our wonderful Nigerian brother who's in Helsinki has been, like, he's such a diligent student, but he's so faithful in anything we do in the church because he has got his priorities right. He hasn't let the devil steal him of that. And it's such a joy to be with him here. And to see that example, somebody from Africa has to come to show us how you can live your Christian life in the Western world, being busy and being active and all that, but still that you are in the body and you have the joy in the Lord. And it's not impossible, but let's resist that. Another thing, of course, Peter is talking about that, and then James is saying that resist the devil. But then one thing that I was thinking in the epistles too is when John in his letter is saying that, like, that we are to keep ourselves from idols. That's another thing. We don't have idols in Europe, not in Northern America, but we have so many idols that we're worshiping and that are robbing us of that joy in the Lord. And it's all kinds of, like, our intellect and, like, immediate gratification in different ways, false freedom and our right for being right and knowing better, and we want to build an image of our life that is acceptable and looks good on whatever social media. And often it's the monster sin that we heard Pastor Stevens preach about, is the pride in a nice disguise. And we don't realize that we have so many idols just lined up in our lives, and the devil is robbing us of so much fun, so much joy that we could have in Christ. If we just get together, sense the fullness of Christ, share the word, have fun, and just share our lives with each other, and we will have the joy and we can rejoice and just always. And Paul said that, again I say to you, rejoice. But we can't rejoice without each other, without the fullness of Christ, without opening our eyes to all those idols and resisting the devil and just going forward in that joy. So, Father, we thank you. for your word, for your joy, for the life in the body of Christ. We thank you for your grace in our lives, for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What a life to live. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Boy, that was good. I enjoyed that a lot. Let's review it a little bit because it was so good. I don't want to lose that. That was good. Do we have the map of Europe up on the screen there? Can we do that? I was wondering if Bill Pfeiffer is getting tired of looking at himself. Where is he? You know, because, wow, every meeting I'm up there. Okay, so. Okay, so here's Europe. Many Europeans here. How about if you're from Europe, would you stand up or you live there in Europe? Maybe it's not needed, but let's do it anyway. Okay. Wow. Okay, thank you. We in the States are similar to you, because we came from there and other places, but our culture is very similar. Christians came here, and you have a Christian culture. And I always love reading these little stories about men and women of God in Europe who did amazing things by preaching in the streets. Norwegian farmer walking through Norway, preaching everywhere in the 18th century. In Finland, a preacher was it Ruotsalainen? I don't know, Paavo Ruotsalainen, and many others. Of simple Finnish farmers that got a hold of the Bible and the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and they just started to minister. And they would walk 200 miles preaching and teaching. Hungarian preachers everywhere in Europe. God did this. God did it. It's amazing. And God saved people, and there were revivals in Europe. And the French Protestants and all of these countries have their history of these people like us. People like us, you know, here, you know, same thing. It's the same thing. Pastor Riso said that we can be in Europe idolatrous, rational, intellectual, individualistic. And all that he said was so good because when we find Christ, he said, smell and taste and find the kingdom of God. I was in the church. The church wasn't interesting. I stopped going to church. My parents, my grandparents stopped going to church. I never go to church. The church is old. Christianity is in the past. And it's like, thank you very much, but we don't need you. We don't need you. We are organized, educated, rich, capable, recreational, and individualistic, okay, on our own. When we went there to Europe, we didn't really know where we were going or what we were doing exactly, but we had Body Life, we had team. We started to preach, and these Finnish young people, Pastor Riso was one of them at that time, maybe, 19 years old? He was 19 years old, and I remember that Simon Katu, the meetings there, and these young people started to come. And they were finding it. They were finding it. Then we had a team house with 10 people. We got this big, like, hotel, motel place in the countryside, and we moved in there with 15 people. We had when we and finished, we had 70 people living there. We bought a bus. We got a tent for tent meetings in the summer. We started Bible college, and there was a spiritual revival, not only with the Bible Speaks, but Pentecostals and Lutheran church movements. But God did a work in Finland in those years. And I'm only saying this, Finns found body life. If Finns found the word, we learned prayer. We had a lot of joy. We had a lot of joy, and we had a mission. And we shared the mission with the church. We had a church, and it was growing, you know, like 200 people. And that's a lot of people. And God was changing hearts and moving and working. And we were in our culture, but we were finding Jesus and then asking a lot of questions and getting answers. And then when we started our Bible school, we were amazed how many people came to Bible school. It was a full-time Bible school. We were amazed. Then we after that house, we changed the model a little bit. We went to smaller, different apartments and houses, and we had our meetings and Bible school, and then we started to go to the mission field from Finland. We went to China. We went to Poland. We went to the Soviet Union. We were in Sweden. We went to Iceland one summer, Denmark. And the Finns would come back and say, you know, because they had their own sense of it, but they would come back and say, God, you know, we saw some good things happen. You know, they're very modest people, so we wouldn't overemphasize it. But yes, it was wonderful. And it was in the heart. Now, I got to say, just to say, these people are amazing, and I have so much respect for what God has done and the kind of integrity and commitment that these Finnish pastors for all these decades and body members and missionaries, and it's been great. And God knows what it is, and we are boasting in Him. But I love the fact that the same thing in France, with Pastor Texier, Pastor Johan, Pastor Jean Cartier, Pastor David, Pastor Luigi in Geneva, Pastor Tony Cooper. I just believe that these people in Europe, if they could find it, if they could find how real it is, and if they could see the body life, if they could see it, it's meaningful to us. It's meaningful to them. Germany with Pastor Stephenson, Poland, Hungary, Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Western Europe, France, the UK, Scotland, which we don't have anything there. By the way, maybe God would call somebody and speak to their heart to go back to Holland, to have a church in Copenhagen. We have in southern Sweden, Pastor Magnus, Norway, more work in Germany, Croatia, the Mediterranean, Spain, Italy, Croatia, Greece, Albania, Northern Africa, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco. All of this is, it's a lot of geography, I know, but I just want to say to us as a body, it's privilege. Just think about it and know it can happen. The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And they can be tough, and there can be arrogance, Yeah, just like in this country as well, they can be challenging. It can be hard to get the momentum and to get body life moving and going and building up and encouraging and sending out and all of what God can do. But it has happened, is happening, and it will happen by His grace. Pastor Risto mentioned individuality, rationalism. I like the part about the devil. The devil is a roaring lion. He's much more powerful than we realize. He is very clever, very capable to affect a whole continent. And by the way, we see it happening in our country today. I can't believe how the lies, the devil, can go to the leaders of our culture in every area and lead people like sheep going off, like lemmings going off the cliff. And I can't believe nobody, or I can't believe that we, actually, let's say, I am thankful for all the churches and for the Spirit to teach us the Bible so we can stand in an evil day. I am so thankful when all this garbage and foolishness of the human heart, and yet I stand. And with, you know, the marijuana thing, don't we have enough trouble in this world without poisoning more people with marijuana, propaganda, and all that stuff? Do the millennials already have enough trouble and not give them more? But who will say it? The church. We will say, that's poison. That's addictive. That's wrong. I don't accept it. I'm against it. And the young people that are with us need to hear me and us say what we think about these issues. Because I believe God has given us the best way. Marriage. Get married. Living with a girl. Living with a girl. Get married. I like it that we say these things. What are you talking about? I apologize for something? Are you kidding? I don't care about what people are saying or thinking. I got the best way. Rooted in the most real God, the living God, who teaches us how to live. So that's fun. And to go to Europe and say it with clarity and authority and boldness, and to say it in our country with clarity and love and truth, and to have a witness and be a counselor and love people, you know, that's beautiful. And but in Sodom and Gomorrah, when they went to Lot's house, they're knocking on his door. You have two men that have brought in to bring them out so we can know them. And Lot shuts the door. Doesn't he go out and he shuts the door behind him and says, no, don't do this evil thing. Remember? And they go, no, we are going to do it. And we are pushing. And then the angels kind of, they pull him in to the apartment. The angels pull him in. And then the people are pushing and pushing. And they're pounding on the door and they're pushing. I'm saying, once this thing is going and they are pushing, they will push and push and push. And what happened in the story was that the angels did one of these kind of, and the people went blind. That was the only thing that would slow them down. The angels intervened and just did one of those power moves, like one of those superhero power moves. And the people are like blinded. I'm telling you, we are in a world, they will not stop pushing. And you have to have your wits about you as to what you think and believe in your heart. Guys, we are in an evil age. And he said the devil, that the average modern man doesn't even believe in the devil. And we are saying, oh no, not only he exists, he's extremely powerful. And he's leading the human race, and he's at it. But we are different, and he knows that. And he knows that. And he will push on our door, and he knows that we are not part of him. And that's okay with me, because I am not part of him. We are part of him, and we're in enemy territory, and we're on a mission. And I believe Europe is an amazing place of ministry. I think we can do more there. I think we can pray for it. We can encourage these men and help them. They are great, faithful men, deep, faithful, highly committed people that know who they believe and walk in him. We love you guys and are thankful. Amen. In Jesus' name.